Hey guys, I'm Sandy.
I'm Christy.
And we're a little bit dead. And we have a guest star today.
Yeah.
We're taking a break from our bullshit we've been on. And so we've got somebody. I'm going to let Christy introduce.
Okay, we have Kay with us tonight. And I'm going to, instead of me saying, Kay, can you tell us what it is that you do that has to do with the spiritual realm?
Yeah. Actually, it's strictly due to an inheritance from my mom's side of the family. My mother could ring, work the Ouija boards, do that stuff. My grandma or great-grandma don't even know what all this is, but it landed slap on my head. So I've been reading since I was 11. And it came to me when I lived in Kansas. First time we ever lived outside of the state of Texas. I was born in Cowtown and a bomb with a black veil over my face. Doctors told Mama that they had never seen nothing like it. And so my daddy took a job and we moved to Kansas on the farm. Up there, we went up in 64. That's all time I've been out of state of Texas to live. But I was 11. My mom could read, so she was keeping up with my Aunt Dot, which is her biological sister, who didn't inherit any of this mess, and neither did my cousins. But they had some issues going among themselves. So she spoke to Grandma, and Grandma had told them that Aunt Dot was down here in Texas and gone to the store, but that wasn't true. Mother had read the cards, and Aunt Dot was closer to us in Kansas than she was to Texas. So she wanted to change my adopted brother. And I don't know. I had watched Mama do it, and then it just, something just, don't know what to call it, said, you can do this, and now's your time. So I shuffled best I could, laid them out, and they instantly turned into watching color TV. And this was in 64. But we didn't have color TV. But I seen my aunt at the grocery store when Mama went to get groceries. And she always left Donnie sitting in the buggy. And then she'd go down the aisle, get what she needed, go back, put it in the buggy, and move to the next one. But in this card reading that flashed up, Aunt Dot walked up in the store, picked him up, walked out with him. And since Mom and Dad had temporary custody of him, only one she could take him from that she called him away from him. So, Mom got through with her day, and she got ready to check out groceries, because I told her what the cards had said, that Aunt Dot was going to pick him up when she went and got groceries. Got to the register. It was similar to Brookshire's. Everybody knows everybody was on store there in
right.
Where we lived. Lady at the register, paraphrasing here, said that Mom, well, Miss Clayton, I didn't see the baby with you when you checked out a minute ago. And Mama told him, she said, he's been with me the whole time. She said, no, you didn't even have a grocery buggy. And when they looked out the big front windows, Aunt Dar was out there by a car. So that's when it came to me. And from then on, I could read.
So what kinds of things do you read specifically?
I can read the tarot cards. I like not to. There's 72 in that deck. There's a major crania, the minor crania. You have to know the meanings upside, when they're upside or when they're right side down. That gets too hard sometimes for people. I just read the deck of 52. That's what I read. When I saw Aunt Dot going to snatch Donnie. And so I just stepped to that. It's not that I can't read them, I just elect not to.
I've gotcha.
To playing cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really cool. So you said, before we started recording, you were saying you've read for people all over the United States.
I do read here over the United States. I started reading for the public in 68. And Mom and Dad lived in Lone Star. This is where they like rooted us to. And then I married my husband at 70. We got married in 74. And so, bless his heart, he knew I could read. He just didn't get the full effect of it till on down the road. But still, that's neither here nor there, bless his heart. So but I read for the public, started reading for me in 68. But it was like, there was a lady that was a friend of mine. She used to own the Red Barn out in Rocky Branch, and she was from Scandinavia. Miss Ansley. And she she was ruling. She was descended from the Roman gypsies or whatever. So she let mom borrow one of her books one day that she could order stuff out of from her country. So there was always something missing. Like, yes, I could read. I've been reading since I was 11. But there was, when I got about 16 going on 17, there was something like peace was not there. But I caught mom not looking one day, got the address and ordered a book. And when it come in, it was more geared to prosperity and like white candles. And so, but once it came in, the very first one of the spells I ever did was like that whole gap was filled in. And I've been able to do it ever since.
Oh, wow. And I neglected to say that your daughter, Lacey, is here with us as well. If you want to say hello.
I'm here. I'm holding like really tight.
Just be nervous.
Yeah, it was
I'm just here to like kind of remind her, not remind, but she has a lot of stories, a lot, and we've heard them for years. And she, I've seen stuff too, her do stuff, and it's just, I mean, I'm 42, so I'm kind of used to it, but my whole life, there's been people in and out of the house. Like, she had Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders coming in and out of the house. There was a man who made, or somebody from Jefferson, I think, that made the little hearts that went on the horses on the Tombstone movie. I don't know. I forgot. She could tell you more about that stuff. She's done a lot for a lot of people.
It's just got to be more of a, everybody's kind of like gotten used to it now. But I have four kids. They all have it. They just don't mess with it. And so because of that, it's like a sewer. You keep pouring grease down your pipes, it'll clog up.
Right.
A clogged up sewer.
There you go. And so they just don't mess with it. They have other interests, which is peachy. My grandkids have it. And I see it in my great-grandkids, too.
That was one of the questions that I had for you, is if you had seen it in the generations that have come past. As well,
I have. And my Aunt Dot, she didn't even get it, but yet her and mother were biological siblings. My cousins by her. I got some cousins, both male and female. None of them can do it. They don't have it. And the only difference in mom and dad and this mess was my biological dad passed away. He got killed in an accident before I was born. So I never knew him, but mama married daddy when I was 18 months old. That was daddy till the day he died. We was actually raised in the church. Mom and daddy helped build one of them up in Graham, Texas. I remember Sunday and Wednesday, dear Lord, in heaven, forgive me for this one. We missed Lassie every Sunday. That was times. But that being said, I remember mom and daddy saying the old rugged cross up at the church. And mama dressed us up in the one of us in pink and one of us in blue. And we look like them little girls you actually see on the old calendars with them little hats. But that being said, my priorities go like this. And here we go. I have three priorities. The Lord, because I don't have anything without it. I didn't come into this world with anything. And I'm not taking nothing with me when I go. Except maybe leaving behind wisdom, if there is, if it's possible, or things that one day the kids, grandkids can look back, oh, that's what Nani, and that's what my grandkids call me, is Nani. Okay. My family and my country. And so when Bobby passed away, he's been gone about 10 years. And during that 10 years that he's been gone, it's just like, there isn't anyone else for me, because that was who I dreamed of for 6 solid months before I ever met him. And when I met him, I knew that's who it was. And we was different day and night. I ran barrels, used to train and break horses. Bobby rode a motorcycle. Never been on
one in my life. That's very different.
He liked the Eagles. He liked all the rock bands of that era. His hair looked like that. It was a far cry from sitting on the back of a bucking bull chute with a cowboy with his hat on, hopping down to go get on your brown horse and having tip his hat to you. So anyway,
opposites really do attract.
The spell books and stuff.
He was kind of, didn't he burn them? I don't know what he did with them, but truthfully, they just walked off, didn't come back one day.
They disappeared.
Exactly. But when I first met him, he was on the back because that was during the time Lone Star Steel first went down.
That train is going to make some really great background.
Yeah, we got a train coming through.
We just like, you know, he on the back, he come over with another lady, another girl. We was about the only two left at Lone Star area after Lone Star Steel went down.
That was a rough years right there.
Yes, it was.
And I was little when that happened. A lot of people,
they were driving from Lone Star and Dangerfield to Tyler, places to Longview to go to work. Right. And so then it got easier for them to just move their families. So we were about one of the last two that had a horse pasture together. And our horse pasture was over there by the rabbit hole in Lone Star. But that's where they had their tanning bed thing. That used to be our horse pasture, and we shared the pasture together. A sheep culture.
Well, that was back whenever I was growing up. I'm from Lone Star.
That'll work.
I grew up there, yeah.
So then you remember how it was before it is.
Right.
So
I was brought home in 1973 from the hospital to our first
hospital in the Pines.
No, actually, I was born in Longview.
Oh, you were blessed.
I was born in the hospital of Pines.
Oh, the house they brought me home to was on Jarlene Street.
Okay.
And then we ended up, when I was 2 years old, they bought a house on Dogwood Street.
Okay.
And which was, a nicer neighborhood and all that. I was completely unhappy about it. I guess I was 2 years old the first time I tried to run away from it. I don't want to be here.
Well,
going back to my blue house.
There you go. So, Mama, she's hollering, told me, she said, Nina's out there on the horse. I think she wants you to go ride. And I said, okay. I didn't know Bobby was on the back of the horse with her. So she had a little short horse. I had one that was about 15'2", about 1,200 pounds. His name was Star. So when I went outside, Bobby was on the back of this horse. So we went and caught my horse. We rode up behind trails at the water tower over by Mud Lake. You know, although that for the day was over, I asked her, because I knew when I saw him, that's who I had dreamed of for 6 months. I asked, was that her boyfriend? And she said, nope. No, we're just friends. I said, okay, well, then he's fair game. That's what I thought. So a couple of days later, he had asked her for my phone number. Back then, cell phones was not a hot thing. You had to call it on a house phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he called and said, I want to come over my mom's. He lives over on Ponder. Well, instead of having to walk behind Mom's house and go down Fannin and then down Ponder, all I had to do was go across the street, down behind the neighbor's house, up Mud Hill, and come out in the backyard, basically. So I went over there. When I walked up the driveway, there he was. But he had his, he didn't have on a shirt. He had on his jeans. He was messing with his motorcycle. He stood up and he swung his hair around.
Hell, not good.
And
it's like a movie.
But for real, he had the six pack because my husband was a roofer at a contractor in Dallas. Throwing shingles up on his shoulders, going up the ladders without holding on.
Yeah, my husband's a roofer.
And you and he roofed in the summer sun. So he said, you want to ride with me down to the line to get a beer?
That's
down
the line.
I told him, I said.
And the line's not even there anymore. There ain't nothing out there.
There's a dot in this corner. Lone Star wasn't wet back then. I told him, I said, I'd never been on a motorcycle. He said, well, then you're going to like this. I thought, I don't think so, but that here we go. So I got on the back of it with him, and I was holding to his belt loops. And he told me, we got on the highway, and he told me, he said, no, you're going to have to put your arms around my waist, because he said, if that belt loop comes loose, he said, you're going to flip both of us. I said, that's the worst pickup line I've ever heard. He said, I'm not joking. He said, you will flip us.
So
I put my around his stomach, went to the line. He got a beer, come back. We stopped at that little Armadillo right there, and he said, put your feet on the ground, hold on to these handlebars, and we're running to get a pack of cigarettes. And I said, okay, I thought to myself, well, how heck and hard could this be? Good God, people, he never got in the store, the damn motorcycle went to fight, and I went, I couldn't hold that sucker up.
Oh, goodness. I remember the Armadillo too.
So he come back out the door, and he said, look, can you go get my cigarettes? He asked me, did you burn your leg on the exhaust pipe? I said, no, but get this damn thing off of me. I mean, I've had a horse slide out from under me before, and it was nowhere near like that motorcycle.
Oh, my goodness. Bless.
So then I met him in 73. We got married in 74. So, but prior to that, he knew I read cards because I back then I was, you know, reading for people. There was a lady I used to read for a long, you can't remember her name, but her and some banker over there was having a good time together. They were both hitched. So because I read for her, when we lived over on Alamo Street, Bobby and me, and we only had one child and we had my son, she would bring her Corvette over there and park at the driveway and say, okay, here's the keys to it. That way you can go do what you need to. Here's my credit card. Just don't wreck the car. So and she'd leave it there till Sunday. Well, Bobby came in and I didn't know it was, but he always came in on Fridays. When he come in, it was like he was in a pissy mood. But first thing he said, who the hell is that fucking car out there? I told him. I said, so-and-so that I read for. He looked in the closets. He looked under the damn bed. I'm not lying.
He was looking for a man.
And I told him, I said, get down there and break your back. But there ain't nothing here. I said, look, I've got the keys. You want to go to Shreveport in it?
Yeah.
Okay. And she told me to make sure I put gas in it that I could take off what, you know. So Bobby said, you really do keeping this for yourself? I said, yeah, till she comes and gets it Sunday, she don't want no mess with his wife, and he don't want no mess with her husband, so they got the weekend together.
I said, oh, it's sugar shady. That sounds like some, what do you call that, Mattis, what is it? Ashley Madison.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah,
Ashley
yeah.
Madison shoe.
Yeah. So I went to Shreveport, the dang thing, and they sat so low to the ground, and Bobby was 6 foot tall.
I have a Corvette.
Like,
yeah, you do, yeah.
But I also sit very, very close to the ground.
That was one of his favorite things over the years. He used to tell me, he'd say, Kay. I'd say, what? He'd say, you need to sue the government. And I said, what in the hell for? He said, for building your ass so close to the ground. I swear,
how tall are you?
5'3".
I'm 5'even".
Oh, I'm taller than you, so that makes it wonderful.
You're tall, sister. I told Sandy she was tall the other day, and she's like, no, I'm average.
Just average.
No. And so it used to irritate me to death when he'd pull that no mean, because he'd, and one time he just, I don't know, our first camping trip was, we could talk mama into keeping my son, and, we took the pickup, took the mattress off the bed, put it in the back of a truck, went down behind Lone Star Steel. It's a catfishing spot just across the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Threw it up and back. That's what, well, I knew the mosquitoes was going to be bad. And Bobby was raised in Dallas. So he actually thought he had come to the backwoods of God knows where when we got married. But that night, I left him in the back of the pickup. With the mosquitoes, crawled up in the front of the truck, rolled the windows up, locked the doors, and went to sleep. It was cold, got cold, and the sun went down. It wasn't even in the hall. It was just got cold. So then down the road, we just, you know, our life went from there. He didn't ride horses when I met him, but he learned to ride, and did it. Then he got me bought me a horse for a guy. And the guy told us that the horse didn't like women, and that was true. But they liked guys because they had raced her. And when a guy would get on her, she would sit down. You stick a girl or a woman up on her, and that heifer, don't let her hear a car backfire because she'd be ready to go. Her name was Brandy. She hauled me down beside her 250, headed toward Lone Star from over there by A&E Machine Shop. Couldn't get the heifer to stop because the dang school bus scared her.
I've been thrown from a couple of horses, so yeah. I don't ride anymore.
I just remember them having like a working on a ranch somewhere, I think in Denton, and I got on a horse.
Well, it was in Denton,
and it took off with me. Yes. I think I was about 3, and I remember this. I remember my older brother, and my older sister screaming, trying to grab me, and I remember playing in the horse water, you know, swimming in that big old. But I didn't know where this was, but. I wanted to kind of tell y'all about the incidents with the Ouija board.
Okay. Back to the mystical stuff.
And the parrot.
I do have a Ouija board up here.
She won't. I don't know if she will or not. But I won't. She scares the hell out of me with that thing. I'm not lying. She got me when I was about 12 or 13 years old. She did it for my brother's friend. Jason died about, a year or two ago? About 2 years ago over here in New Springs. But they used to all just hang out at mom's house. Mm-hmm. And he was mad at his wife. She left him. And he wanted to sell his soul to the devil.
He did.
He wanted to. And he got over there and she was doing a Ouija board. And I never forget that night. I had a parrot that talked. She flew off her cage and acted a plum nut.
I
went across the street and stayed the night. I didn't come home for days.
I specifically told him, scared. I said, look, on this board, if we get who you want to talk to, there's never no guarantees based on the fact the strongest spirit in the other world will push some of the lesser spirits out in order to come say what they need to say. I said, but if we get a hold of one and it's acts like you're talking to an attorney and it does not misspell anything, then you've got a hold of the devil.
Oh, Lordy.
So he didn't care. I told him then, I said, don't, you know, I said, it can, if we get a hold of somebody you want to talk to, it may decide to talk to you. May decide to talk to whoever's in here. It may decide to talk to the animal. Well, I guess it picked Penny because Penny was sitting on the cage. And next thing we know, she squawked after the board went moving up, flying. It scared Jason so bad, bless his heart. He run over my nephew, my husband's nephew, trying to get out of the house. They left his niece, her boyfriend, they left her. She couldn't get out of the house fast enough. It flew up on top of the curtain rod, perched up there, was following Jason with her head. Jason was going to go land in his hair, and he went to screaming. I said, I told you so. And so
I'm going to assume that he no longer wanted to make a deal with the devil.
No, he didn't. He wanted to not come back over to the house for a while. I told him. All I could say to him was, don't leave the door because the bird will get out and then we won't have a parrot.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I bought a Ouija board for up here because obviously it's...
Yeah, this place is haunted.
It's haunted.
Let's let her share her feelings when she first walked in here.
Yeah.
Well, the guy, whoever it is that's in here... He thinks the one that's talking to me on the microphone has lost her mind.
That's me.
That's glossy.
And he does not like the way the ribbons and all are in here, but he likes to knock stuff off the wall. Now, he's not active all the time, but the temperature in here is just right for him, so whoever he is.
I keep it on hell degrees because I'm always cold.
But it really hell does degrees. Have something maneuvering through here, and you can feel him. Right now, he's not doing anything.
Yeah, he's knocked across. I have a... cross wall up front and like the retail area of the shop, and I have crosses that are for sale, and he was an atheist and he has knocked them down the whole wall multiple occasions, just knocked them down.
Well, he's just one of those, gets on them spirit moons, and that's what he decides. He knows he can make them fall. If he's mad, he just goes to that kind of stuff and knocks it down, so he'll have something to get on.
So another thing about this house is it was my grandparents' house when I was growing up, and they bought it in the 50s, and the front door was never, ever used, ever. Everybody come to this door. And so when I made it a flower shop, I started opening the front door because I wanted my customers to come in the front door.
Mm-hmm.
He don't like that.
Well, I understand that. This is his place.
It's still his home.
Yeah.
You know,
he lets me know every now and then that I'm doing something and he don't like it.
The casket room where we were originally recording, that was his bedroom.
Well, that's just wonderful.
He was not impressed when I did that. He was not pleased.
See, you can feel the energy in here when you walk in. I like it. It kind of gives me like going into my grandparents' house when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's like it does, like everything about it is kind of like it's not bad for me.
Yeah. Everybody that comes in here says it has like good energy. Yeah. Like my grandparents were great people.
She has told me that every once in a while people get pinched on the rear end.
Yeah. Well, everybody that's ever worked for me has gotten touched.
Well, maybe he likes to pinch.
I always thought it was my grandmother did.
Maybe.
Because that was the thing that she did. But
who knows?
Yeah. And then the activity is a little bit like if I'm not here. And my little high school girl's here by herself.
Oh. What's her name?
She'll call me and say, can you tell your granddad to get in his room?
That would be funny. That's funny.
I tell everybody, if things are going on and you don't like it or it's bothering you or whatever, you just tell him, Ranchy, go to your room.
Ranchy?
Yes, his nickname was Ranchy.
Ranchy.
And I don't know if you remember, they had the drugstore in Heath Springs years ago, like back in
probably the
60s, 70s, 80s. But anyway, his nickname was Ranchy, and You just tell him, Ranchi, go to your room, and he'll go to his room.
Wow.
Stop it.
That's why I was like, he probably thinks I'm crazy because he never met me before, and every time I walk in, I'm like, hey, Grandpa. Hey,
yeah. That might explain it.
Yeah. Yeah, most.
Because the Air Family just think you've lost your mind.
It's.
He didn't been listening to y'all.
I don't know if I ever had my mind completely, so I cannot take offense to that.
No,
okay.
No,
yeah.
Right.
I know.
And you know, one thing about the over the years, I've come to conclusion because when my grandpa passed away, again, that's before Tiffany and Lacey were born. We was down the stand at my mom's, and it was like 11 something at night. Well, grandpa was an antique dealer, and so his health got bad. They live way out in West Texas at Knox City. So they couldn't, like, you know, make the trade days anymore. But this is when Bobby first really figured out there was more to what he married than just reading cards. Lord, this would be funny if y'all could have saw it. The thing about it, you know, it is that when grandpa passed away, like, we were staying with my mom in Lone Star because that was our home place, basically. But this particular night, I don't know, it was about 11 or something, and only once he was just there beside the bed, and he said, kitten, I got to go, and I'll see you later. I thought for a split second of time that they had come down, because it wasn't uncommon when they was making the trade days to show up 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Because mom and daddy's house was like from Kenny to Jefferson to, it was closer than trying to go all the way back 9.5 hours to home.
Right.
So, but then I instantly knew, no, that's not possible because grandpa can't drive no more. His health is so bad. So I woke Bobby up and I told him, I said, wake up because my grandpa died. And so when I got him awake good, he said, Kay, no, you're dreaming, go to sleep. I know you don't understand. The phone's fixed to ring, and when it does, I'm not rolling across you and get out of bed and go answer it. Well, let Mama answer it because grandpa died. It wasn't no time the phone in the hall rang. It rang about 10 times. So Mama got up out of her room, and next thing I know, I heard her crying. Bobby heard her crying. He was just laying there. He said, you know, he didn't say anything at the time, but she came back and knocked on the door, and she said, Kay, I said, Mama, I know Grandpa died. And so she said, you know, Mom said that his heart just busted. And so Bobby rolled out of bed. You talk to dead people. Oh, dear God. Oh, dear God. He's swinging his hands. Oh, dear God. You didn't tell me you talked to dead people. He ain't in here, is he? He wasn't in here a while ago when he was. I said, no, he's not in here. He's not standing at the foot of our bed. No, he was on his way to wherever he was going. Oh, my God. That was when I first, then I returned, look, we could have had this conversation many a time in the past, oh, I don't know, 2 years. But you never wanted to find time to, oh, my God, it's all right. He's not here. But that was his first experience on that. But I can grant y'all, of all the years, we was married 41 years, and of all the years and time period, he never seen me do a spell. He had no problem taking me at that time to pick up stuff for it. He never seen, he knew I read. People come to the house to get the cards read. And he would say, we're here to talk to Kay. Kay, somebody in here for you. I said, okay.
Oh, what? I didn't want anything to do with it. Huh?
Tell them about Dad was being a little promiscuous at one point in time.
Oh, about washing him in the candle?
She watched him in the candle, what? But she also read for one of his girlfriends that didn't know that was his wife. When she showed up the card
room. Oh, no,
I remember that when I was there that day.
Now, When we got married, like I said, he was away from a contractor. We stayed at Mom's until we got our own place over there in the Lone Star and Alamo. But he would go back and forth with his boss, because that was his dad's best friend. And they would contract out the roofs. And so he'd be gone all week. He'd come in Friday, but have to go back Sunday. So that being said, anyway, this particular weekend, he didn't come in. It got about 9 o'clock. Well, I called the boss's wife and asked her, I said, you know, Angel, are they not in yet? She said, yeah, okay. She said, they're in. She said, but little Robert stayed in Dallas this weekend. I said, okay. And so she said, they said they had a roof they had to do. Well, that was weird, but okay. So I had never met his friend, them two that he grew up with at that time. So I thought, okay, that's weird to me. Let me see what they're doing. So I decided I was by myself. Our son was asleep. So I lit the candle, was sitting there. Lo and freaking behold, y'all, they were at a topless bar.
Oh, bless.
That's They wouldn't have been glad to if he would have to have just had me have said that. I was sitting there watching them. His friends, two roofing buddies, it was Ray and Ronnie. The lady on the table had legs longer than an ostrich.
Oh.
She had on heels that, my God, you'd break your ankle if you could walk normal. She had tassels on her, like she could spin them by shaking her shoulders, make them go inward, cockeyed, cocked-eyed. And then I heard Ray biggest day, because Ronnie was, he was so wasted, he was sticking dollar bills in her G-string. Well, I'd never even seen that, honestly, y'all. So she, Ray asked him, he said, "Little Robert, what would your new wife do if she knew you was out here?" Bobby's exact words. I can't remember where I put my car keys at the time, but I remember stuff like this. So he up and says, "Well, what Kay don't know won't hurt her."
little did he know.
Well, she's watching.
A whole week went by. Next Friday came. They come home. He come in. He said, "You know, we'll go get something to eat, get the poles. We'll go behind the plant and go fishing." I said, "Okay." He said, "How'd your weekend go?" I said, "Well, what Kay don't know won't hurt her."
Oh.
Or
no.
Did he know what you knew at that time?
He knew, because he knew what Ray had, you know, what he had replied back. And he thought they had told me. And I said, he said, "Which one of them? No, Kay, which one of them told you that?" I said, "I have never met them." Then I told him, I said, "Because I watched you in the candle. Let me tell you what she looked like. And thank God for yourself. You weren't stuffing dollar bills in the G-string, because you would have been short some fingers fishing tonight."
And the world was what?
And so from then on, that was
my
it.
Legs.
Oh, and Bobby, that was something else he found out. So, but other than that, like I said, we had a good life.
The first girlfriend. This is when he was a police officer.
Yes. He went into law enforcement and eventually became the police chief of Winfield.
What'd you call the women? Badge bunnies?
That's what they were. And...
What did you say? Badge bunnies.
Badge bunnies.
Not a lot of
it. And he worked straight graveyards. And he started out as a sergeant. And then his lieutenant was dating this woman's daughter, basically. And she worked over at a restaurant in Mount Vernon called the Barnstorm. He worked graveyards. So he'd go pull in his shift, come home, rest. We were going to, well, finally, I don't know. That being said, so
she's editing herself.
I can tell y'all what I remember. I just remember Dad was police officer over in Winfield, and it wasn't the redhead. It was another one. So she shows up to Mom's house, and I'm a teenager. And I'm in the other room with my friend. She's visiting. We're in there BSing. And Mom's reading cards for this lady in the kitchen like normal. And then I hear something about the man she's dating and seeing. And she's asking all these questions and what Mom sees. And Mom's like, "You do know you're fucking my husband, right?" Me and my friend were like,
What?
Our house is small. Like her, she still lives in that house. Very small, so you can hear everything. And but anyway, so I hear that, and then the woman's like, "No, ma'am." She was younger. She was a younger lady. I remember that. And when Dad got home, all hell broke loose.
I can imagine
that. But can you imagine that? You reading cards and you don't know, and then you see your husband.
No. Oh Lord.
No.
I remember that. That would have been
into that for me.
Well, yeah. I'm saying that would have to be one of those moments that it had to be so hard for you to have this thought, because I don't know.
How did you keep from whipping her ass?
She, I don't know if it was this one, but she, when he was working over there, she was seeing stuff, you know, and I didn't go with her on this round, but she went over to the bar over there. I was chunking glass bottles. She got on the overpass on I-30. I was dropping bricks.
I was
serious. You wouldn't even think it looking at her, but
y'all, you can't see her, but this is the sweetest lady you ever saw.
Oh my God.
That will put a shocking on you, I'll tell you what.
That you've had her doing some crazy things, I'll tell
the
you.
The thing about it was because he worked straight graveyards, that once I've, it hit me one day at the flower shop, speaking of the flower shop. But my friend and I used to be our next door neighbor. Brenda and I had a flower shop over there next to where Outlaws is. And I don't know, just something just told me that, you know, that there was more to this. So I told her, look, Brenda, I got to go to Winfield. And so there's another friend of mine that had come down there just to sit with us. It was during, I think, homecoming time, maybe. But she said, well, let me. I know. She said, okay, let me take you because from the look on your face, you don't need to drive. I said, why? You think I'm going to run over somebody? So we went up there. Okay. We went to the trailer where she lived because her daughter was dating his lieutenant. Knocked on the door. Nobody came to the door, but his fishing poles were sitting in there. So I said, okay. So I come out. My friend told me, she said, now what? I said, well, I know where she works. Take me over there. I'm going to ask her why is these fishing poles in her living room. Well, we went to Mount Vernon. She drove me over there. She worked at the Barnstormer restaurant. Got over there, went inside. Her car was there at the time, and I didn't pay no attention to it. But we went in and asked the guy at the register where, you know, where was she? Said, well, she's on break, and she'll be back in about 3 when she gets back from break. I said, okay. So she said, what do you want to do now? I said, well, I don't know. I guess we'll sit and wait, because by then it was probably little till 3. So she said, well, where am I going to park? I said, I don't know. Pull up and park by that white pickup. So she did. So coming in from the, I guess, the south, you had the white pickup was shielding her car, but you made the circle. So he didn't see us. So when they pulled up, he got out of the truck on the passenger side. His lieutenant, which was dating her daughter, he was driving. Then she slid out, so she grabs him by the shirt collar, pulls him down and kisses him. Wrong thing to do. So I got out of my friend's car. By the time they seen me coming, his lieutenant, he knew they were screwed, and that's not a joke, because he's getting at your wife. My God, she looks mad. Well, she took off running. Really running back toward her job. So there was a beer bottle in her hand, or in his hand, so I just grabbed it, and I'll be the first to say, I threw it at her as she was running. Well, now, when it hit the ground, it went to spinning, like playing spin the bottle. I went up in the restaurant. I didn't know the council. I was up in there, and I told her. Yes, they were. They were up in there eating. I went off on her, and I told her, let me tell you something. I've been married to him for 26 years. I said, that's my husband. That parking lot you was kissing that just slid out of that red truck. And you got to go back home to where you live in Winfield. And I said, that's not going to be a good thing between me and you.
Amen.
Went off on him. Well, I got Lisa's car. I went back to Winfield. And they weren't at the trailer, and they weren't down at the dead end at the other house. She asked me, she said, where do you think they went? I said, I don't know. I'm not going to hunt him. He'll have to come home eventually. So,
dog.
Next thing I know, his sergeant pulled in. She had called in, or somebody had said it was a drunk driver. Well, my friend didn't drink. And I don't drink. Not that that makes any difference. I don't care what people do with their own personal stuff. That's them. But when he saw it was me sliding out of the car, that was his.
And you're laughing because we stand in our drinking.
Anyway, he said, I didn't know that it involved the chief's wife because he was chief by then. I said, it's no big deal. He said, look, we just got to call the drunk driver. He asked my friend, was she drinking? She said, no, I don't drink. And he said, okay, well, then but then he come right back to me and he said, you're going to have to wait a minute. I said, I understand we will because our manager Franklin County's on their way over here. They were. Maybe 10 minutes or less, they pulled up, come across the interstate, come over there. He got out, come to the car, and he asked me, he said, I hear there was an incident at the Barnstormer. I said, there was. He said, well, the lady says you threw a beer bottle at her. I said, no. I had it in my hand so it wouldn't fall. And when she took off running, bumped me, it hit the ground and went spinning.
And now here we are years later, and she's admitting it.
So anyway, it went spinning. And he said, well, I told him, I said, look, you're an officer. You're going to have to do what you have to do. I said, I promise you, if it has to get tied up in court, y'all going to have to prove that it happened the way she's saying it happened. So he said, no. He said, just next time you come to Winfield to visit, come over to visit. I said, I'll think about it. So we left. We come back to Dangerfield, and I went down to the shop, got my vehicle, and I went to the house. Well, he come home.
Did he bring his fishing poles?
Damn right he brought his fishing poles.
I think I still have them fishing poles.
He brought them fishing poles. And so, but like I said, you know.
I think also, didn't mean to interrupt you, but like with her reading cards.
Yeah.
Back to that, like I don't really think you could read Dad, could you? She couldn't read my dad, and she can read me. A lot of people can read me, but it's like it's not for me, or it's like
one thing about
that's like years happen later. My sister, it's like within days.
But it's due to the fact of what y'all have that y'all don't mess with, and what y'all's auras can absorb. That being said.
She does have a lady friend,
that being said,
that is in DCAB that channels people. What is
Miss Ramsey?
Miss Ramsey.
If she's still alive.
I don't even know if she is, but me and my sister used to go over there. You could just walk in her house. She had an Indian statue as tall as probably the ceilings in here. It scared me. But I would walk in. She was very open. She always wore her little nightgown. She would just sit down there like we're talking right now. She'd look at your face and tell you everything about you. And she's told us a lot. And her mom were really good friends.
I haven't seen her in a while.
But, yeah, just being around all that, like, I think mom should come back and read cards.
Well, let me tell you, Christy and I have talked about this, and we've talked about it on the podcast. It's like, when I was little, I feel like I had some abilities. And, like, I see ghosts, spirits. But it was so, like, squashed down in me because my parents were, like, so against that type of thing. And, like, I had an experience with my granddad, like, right after he died. Like, he came and...
Sing you?
Huh?
He come to visit you?
He did. He was petting me on my back and, like, stroking my back. And I freaked out and started screaming bloody murder and woke up the whole house and all that kind of stuff.
Well, one thing about it, animals... And little kids can see the other world because they don't question what they see.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, it really is something to the fact that it'll be in October. And when all the different celestial cycles come through, if it's something unusual, like planned alignments and all, it puts out an unusual energy. People that actually can do this stuff, they either go one or two ways. They either get extremely charged up or they're like, retrograde will kind of like unbalance what they do. So, like, I'm used to it because I grew with it. But my great-grandkids had it. And what you're talking about is my great-granddaughter in Oak Garland, she was like, her mama, she was going with my son. She was around. She was around many a time with the card reading, so it wasn't nothing unusual for her. But my granddaughter with her, my great-granddaughter, when she got like 4 or 5, she was always talking. Her new husband was having a problem with it. So when she called me to tell me, you know, she's talking to somebody. You can tell she is because they make her laugh. And I said, well, and her husband was... They were thinking so just like an imaginary friend. That wasn't what it was. She could see her granddad on her mama's side, who her mama never really spent time and got to meet. But I told her, it's just like this. I said, even if you did not know that her nonny is weird, I said, don't tell her that she don't see her. You can refer to it if that's what you want to, and don't explain that to your husband. Because I said, eventually she will outgrow it. It's either going to go one or two ways. Right. She will either... And she'll clog up her own pipes. As she gets older, there's going to be other things come along. Dance classes, soccer. She played hot soccer for so long, she was a goalie in high school.
Yeah.
And so I said it clogged it up, but don't try to tell her she don't see it. Well, it was a few days or so after they was over at her mom's house cleaning out a bedroom closet, and she set some picture albums on it. And then my granddaughter was telling, Mama, this is my friend. This is my friend. And she had found a picture of her great-granddaddy. And that's who her friend was. And she knew that was who her friend was. And so when her mom called me, she to tell me about it. I said, well, I tried to tell you. I said, she sees what she sees. They're not just imagining it. And that's what it was with you. But you were told that, you know, whatever.
So you was told, don't do that.
And say my kids, when my kids were little, they could see. Mm-hmm. And because the house that I live in is my husband's great-grandmother lives there with us.
Oh.
And so they could see her when they were little, and they described her in such detail to my mother-in-law, because there's no pictures of this woman.
Right.
Because this is, like, in the 1800s.
Right.
Like, my husband's much, much older than me, and so his mother's, anyway.
Yeah, Mom.
And so they were able at a young age to describe her in such detail to my mother-in-law that she was like, oh, well, that's this person that was my grandmother, and she looked exactly like that.
Oh, wow.
How do you know about
that? I truly believe that certain people are born with gifts. I believe that.
And so,
I think that sometimes it's, whether it's your family.
Yeah.
Or it could be the church.
Yeah.
Or
my family was religious, and to a point of, if it's not of Jesus, then it's of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't discourage it in my kids, like when they could see, or they were having snacks with grandma in the other room. Like,
right.
I just let it happen and didn't like discourage it. And after a while, they just kind of quit doing it.
Yeah.
But like when things would go missing in my house, it was because grandma like took it.
Yes. Grandma took it.
And so, and I've seen her in the last couple of weeks, and she wakes me up at nighttime sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes the other realm, though, gets really active, and it's got to do with whatever celestial problems are going on in the universe. We had that alignment of them planets here a while back, and it was like, they call it the parade of planets, but because it's a known fact that the moon has such a big magnetic pull that it causes the ocean tides to go in and out. And,
right.
And humans are basically three-fourths liquid. Well, you add the other planets lining up with it, they've each got their own magnetic pull, and it affects people. So, and it's something to the fact, a lot of people may not think so, but like when the moon's full, oh, people that work in medical places,
yeah,
they have more, and the nuts come out. I ain't playing.
Oh, my daughter worked in ICU.
My daughter's a nurse too. And, so, yeah.
And that's a big, that is a thing. Plus women going into labor.
Yeah. Yes. Lots of babies are born full moons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
My daughter's a NICU nurse. And so,
yes. Yeah. And it's
really neat. I would like to do that.
It's, you know, there's a lot to it, but it's just a lot of times, like I said, I it's not explainable. And some people, if you do explain to them, you know, it's hard to explain it sometimes, so I try to keep it in English things and scenarios that someone can understand, especially if I read, you know, reading for them for the first time. But I have a lot of people I read for. People that are like one lady, she's even listed in my phone under Lisa from 20 years ago because I've read for her for over 20 years.
I want to come and, like, have a private reading. I would do that.
She likes it. Every day. I mean,
I need to make an appointment. I'd like to do that privately.
Get her number. She'll
come. You just catch me at home or catch me coming over this way or whatever.
She's over here all the time at Don Juan's, just saying.
I live at Don Juan's. We're not going to story about it.
Oh, and just one more thing, though. Like, Mom's mom, my granny, she read our palms when we were kids.
Yeah.
And she had this little black hand. I don't know what that... I pulled it up since I've gotten older, and I have a granddaughter now, and I want to get her one, but she had a little black hand she had bought for me. It's like a fist. And it's something to do with keeping evil away from, like, the child. Like, if they don't... Like, if people are, like, looking at them in an evil way, something like that.
Oh.
Well, she used to read our palms, and she would hold this necklace up with that hand on it, And it would, she would let us ask questions and it would go back and forth for years this way for no.
I had somebody give me a pendulum. Clara gave me a pendulum one time.
She was so gifted. I'm telling you, that lady had the gift of healing. She can touch you. And I'm telling you, like I had shingles.
Oh no.
Oh, it was awful. I was at work and she came in. You've ever been into the tanning salon and you see the room said Claire's room? It was named after her. It's room 5.
I have never. Is it like above or
tanning bed 5? It says Claire's room.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. Whenever the time you go past to the bathroom, whatever, you'll see it.
No, I have to.
But anyway, she came in and she knew she could just look at my face. She knew I was in pain. She came and she put her hand on my back. I didn't even tell her I had shingles. She just did. She put her hand on my back, and like I'm telling you, like the next 2 days I was pain free.
It's almost like the green mouth.
Well,
and because she died an awful death.
She died after that. Yes, it makes me feel so bad.
Like, but she literally took on people's
She did.
And she's a tiny woman.
Oh. I called her on the phone right after that. And I said, are you a healer? Because I said, I know this sounds weird, but are you a healer? Because you touched me the other day and I've not had any pain in 2 days. Which, by the way, it did come back. It was shingles.
Yeah.
But the pain was gone for a couple of days and it was crazy. She said, yeah, she didn't talk about it a lot because people get weirded out about stuff that they don't understand.
That's right.
But yeah.
She's not shy about it. Some people are like, kind of like they make you kind of just keep it down. Like they don't want you to talk about it because it's like a religious thing. But she's never kept it a secret.
My grandparents not so much didn't want me to talk about it. It was mostly like my mom and my dad were like, that's not real. You can't say that, or you can't feel that, or you can't. This microphone I'm gonna throw in the trash after today.
I keep seeing you jiggle, play.
Okay, yeah. It's good now. Nope.
That one might there be it is. Gone.
Okay, good. Don't move it. God.
By the way, that used to be my mic.
Now you done tossed it off.
Yeah, we're gonna throw that one away.
For real. I can't hear what y'all hear, but I can see y'all's face when y'all hear it.
Yeah, it's me. It's this microphone. It's awful.
For you. But yeah, you should do the private reading with mom, and maybe next time she can come back and she can share a little more or give y'all another reading or maybe even do something else.
Yeah, that would be fun.
She's an interesting lady.
Have you had a good time?
Oh, I've enjoyed a damn lot of it. But then again, I enjoy any time. What y'all see is what you get
with
me.
She likes to talk. I love it.
This is me.
I love it. I think you're great.
Thank you. I mean, if you see
me, I want you to come back again.
There's a, you know, and I tell everybody, even new people, that word of mouth, I've never advertised, word of mouth. And over the years, like I said, now I read for people all over the United States, people I'll never meet. And I do spells for them all over the United States. I'm not going to story about it. And this is how I look at it. If this is something that's not intended, that this is going to be between me and the Lord on Judgment Day. But it can't, to me, it couldn't be bad or it wouldn't allow me to help people.
Yeah,
and
that's
people
true.
Call me all the time just to talk to me, and I'll tell them, look, I'll tell you what I think, but I'm not a psychiatrist, don't want to be. But, I mean, I get calls all the time, just people say, Miss Kay, this is what's happened. What do you think? Well, I don't know, but I'll give you my best opinion. But the key to all of it is I'm a happy camper the way I am. I'm a happy camper as long as my kids, including that thing, which I don't like, my kids,
she's lying. Not any of us, I promise.
My grandkids, as long as the Lord leaves them around and I don't have to, you know, like put any of them away before me, I'm a happy camper. And my great grandbabies, oh. But if a person really wants to see a side of me that they would never believe existed, fuck with my family.
Yep.
Same.
Well, hell.
And I don't care whether it's son-in-laws, and I really do have 2 good son-in-laws. I got, that's how I go on my vacation to stuff, because at night driving, not because they do that, but now this one here that I was pointing at, he has one of them, like, we come by, we'll go, I seen Lacey when she come in the house, didn't see this thing. Next thing I know, the door was still open, and he said, Mark, that made me fall on the
Yeah. Even more, I was just about to jump off the table.
Where's his heart? And now, one of my grandsons, which is her youngest, of all my grandkids, they mess with me. But they're so convincing, like the one, Kavon, God give me strength if I don't kill that one. Like the other night, he put me on an app one time. I got a phone call from a Chinese restaurant. This is what he does to me in Pittsburgh. You need to come get your order you ordered. Who is this? This is so-and-so in Pittsburgh, China. You ordered this order. It is an hour late. If you do not come get this order, we're going to call the... I don't know if you know damn order. I didn't know Pittsburgh had it. It was talking back to me, people. And finally, I said, that's okay. I said, you tell me where you're at or that I'll come over there. And I said, but I'll grant you one thing. I ain't coming over there to pick up no order that I didn't order. And so I said, you just let me go find my purse. And then I hung up on it.
But you wouldn't go pay.
That's what I said. But the thought, it rung right back, and I said, it was Kavon. And I said, Kavon, I think go to Pittsburgh. Some, but what over that Chinese restaurant, they don't even have one over there. And Kavon, he was laughing so hard. He finally got through to me and said, Nonnie, no, it's an app. I said, what do you mean it's an app? It talked to me.
Yeah, the things they can do.
They carried on that conversation with me, and it was him.
Oh,
but that's okay.
Gosh, that's so funny.
He has to show up eventually, and then when he does, many a time at the games, and just being at the house for get together, I throw a shoe at him quicker and lighter.
I had a question. Okay, so out of all these years that you've had this gift that you have, what is the most interesting reading that you've ever done?
Okay. Two, long time ago, my husband was a cop, but he was in a jailer in Pittsburgh. That was a black guy, knocked on my door. I was not raised racist. Mom and dad grew up in that time, but we weren't. I mean, we were not raised that way. And he said, are you the lady that reads palms? And I said, no, not that I can't, but I read cards. He wanted me to read his cards. So he come in, and this was what was weird about this particular one was the house phone was on the wall over there, that where you're sitting. And I was sitting on the couch, and he was standing up. So I fixed to read his cards, and lo and behold, the very first parts of the words, I said, well, this is not, I thought to myself, this is not good. So I said, look, I don't care who you killed and sunk in the bottom of that water. He's floated to the top. And I said, you've got maybe a 24-hour head start on law enforcement. And I said, I don't care. I said, how you did it, why you did it, it got nothing to do with me. Couldn't get to the phone to call for help if I'd wanted to. And he was between me and the front door. So,
my Lord.
Out of the clear blue sky, he just kind of looked off and he said, well, I can't go back up north, just like this. I can't go back up north because I got once out up there for sexual assault.
Lord.
I've never heard this one.
I'm sure you haven't. And then so he said, and you sure he's floated up? I said, oh, yes, he's going to float up. He hadn't already. And the cards are specifically saying, flashing 24, you maybe have a day's head start. He said, well, he said, I guess I'll just go on out to California. I said, well, I don't care where you go. Other than I'm just, the cards are just telling you that's the late time you have. So he gave me $100 for reading for him. And was talking to himself. So I made sure he got to the door as soon as he walked outside. I locked it.
You danger.
Yes. And then so I got on the phone. I called Bobby, telling him got one of the worst cussings I ever had in all the years of being married to him. So the next strangest one was, it was a guy came to the door, and he asked, was I the lady that read cards? I said, yes. And he was, I don't know, he was a white guy, but he was about maybe in his 30s, give or take. Well, he looked like that anyway. So I read for him, and it told him something similar to, well, you're in law enforcement, and you've been in law enforcement about 5 years. And he didn't say anything, and it went on telling about him and his girlfriend that he was going to, I can't remember, but that he was going to probably really get to go with her and then go to the Bahamas. So when I got the reading for him, I said, so how long have you been a police officer? He said, I've been a Texas Ranger for about 5 years, five and a half. And I thought, okay. And he said, I really am a Texas Ranger. I said, I believe you. So he showed me the badge. He said, that really is the number you can call. I know. You know, it said five and you said five and a half. And I said, but that case you're trying to solve, I said, you're not going to solve it unless you call that person back in. They know more than they're telling you. Go back and listen to your recordings and all your statements. And when before he left, he got up and he said, I just don't think she knows anything. I said, well, then you won't get a chance to solve it, and you're still going to be taking heat from the top because it's not going coming together right. And I said, you go listen if you want to do what I just suggested. And I said, I promise you pretty much that you won't be coming back down to see me. I never saw him after that.
Oh, wow.
Have you done a lot with law enforcement or no?
No. No. It's one thing about stuff like this. It's really hard for them to defend anything in court. And things are like moving waves of an ocean. At the moment something happened, you may get bits and pieces of how it ended up or bits and pieces of who was involved in it, but you may not get the whole full picture.
You're not getting the whole thing then.
And so right. Anywhere in between, though, if it ain't the gaps ain't filled in, you know, someone that just looked like so-and-so may not have been the person that was involved at all, but yeah, that's the picture of what they look like. So, no.
Can you read things without cards? Does it ever just come to you without the cards?
Just whenever, it's periodically.
I was just curious about that.
But it's not like it's not, and like I said, people's asked me, you know, can you teach me how to, I can't. I don't know how to teach what I don't know. I don't know how to teach this to y'all. It's not that I wouldn't. If you want,
it's teachable.
I think it's one of those things that you can either do it or you can't.
It's a gift.
Like, yeah, yeah, it's a gift.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing it since I was 11. And I started reading for the public in 68. And then that's why I first.
And she's still doing it.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I'm going to make an appointment.
For sure.
Yeah. And we'll be back again for sure.
Well, thank y'all. I've enjoyed
this. I think
it
was breaking the ice. She was kind of nervous.
Well, I wasn't sure what the.
I was too. I never done it either.
So, and I know he's getting sleepy. He's got to drive us back, y'all.
We're so glad that you came to join us tonight. This has been just great.
This has been incredible. It's been something different.
Well, I do understand that out there who's going to be seeing this. I am not a fruitcake and I'm not a nut and I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Not questionable.
I am.
Charlotte's telling you experiences from and how it come to be, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I think she's holding back a little bit.
Okay. I mean, we're just getting to know each other. That's it's good.
It is an interesting world. I'll tell you that if you ever have anything, if you have it in your genetics, and I inherited it when it really did, because my grandmother on my biological dad's side always told my grandma on mama's side, my mama's side, that one of my great-great-grandfathers was a shaman for Oklahoma's Cherokee Nation. And that may be so, but I have no doubt because I was told that, but it might explain why my Aunt Dot and her kids they can't do it. My sister, stepsister, that when she was living in Florida, I even asked her one time, after just a long after she got married, I said, did you ever really get it? She said, no, and don't want it. She said, all part I got about it, Kay, is if she had real-time dreams, and if it was about the family, it would happen the way she dreamed it. That's all she got out of it. She said, because I seen things in our bedroom scared me so bad, I don't want no part of it.
Do you have any advice maybe for somebody that's out there that has similar situations that happen, but they just don't know
or has a kid that's gifted also?
I tell everybody to be your own judge on it if your child, but understand with kids and pets, they see things because they don't question it. When you get people who, and it's natural, but when you get people that question like, I didn't see the other corner of my eye, you know, it's like, it kind of like blocks them off until they find another opening to come visit you. But you just have to be your own judge on it. Because like in your case, you know, if it runs in with religion, and it's not that God, forgive me, that I don't believe in the Lord. It's the truth. He keeps me going. I don't have anything without him. I really don't. He gave me Bobby, yes, 41 years of being married to him. The first 20 was like a roller coaster ride from hell. The last 21 wasn't, because by then we had our kids and our grandkids. He had in common with my grandson so he could play the video games. Y'all, I'm not joking. I never graduated from Atari. Pac-Man would catch me and eat me. I was balling one day up at JB Link's, where it was called, in Longview on the games, because it kept catching me. And so Bobby told me, okay, get off that damn game. I said, well, it won't let me get past. I can't.
But what would you tell someone who has a kid that, or somebody, is what she's asking?
I understand what she's asking. They need to be their own judge on it. That's what I'm saying. Because if it's a kid, parents have a say over their kids. And if it's, you know, because if you don't clog it up, it eventually will come back around. You've always got it. And it's always there at your beck and call.
So use it if you got it. That's what I would say.
Is it one of those things that, like, if you don't use it, you lose it? Or
you don't lose it. No.
It's like the clogged up pipe you're talking about. You just kind of...
Get you some Drano? Is that what
you're saying? Yeah, get some Drano.
You're pushing it down where it can't activate, I guess, is what she's saying.
Right, kind of, sort of, because... That's the way I know to describe it, because I've never not messed with it. I mean, you know, I've read since I was 11, did started doing spells for people when I was 16, going on 17. You cannot put spells on kids. You have to be 18 and 17. Everybody needs their aura clean. One, that's not a spell. One thing about the aura, life's negative energy sticks to it like glue. And every argument you ever had with your mama in high school for not bringing the car home on time, yeah, you got to take it to the ball game the next night, but that original negative outflow stuck. As you go through life, every guy problem, every girl problem, depending on your sex, so on and so forth. And as you get forward through life, if you never, you know, really get you a spell and get it cleaned off of you, you just keep sticking. And that's eventually... That, you know, it catches up with you because it starts making people second guess themselves and they lose their energy. And, you know, it just affects different people in different
ways. I've read a lot about like chakra cleansing and stuff. Is that what that is?
You're talking about as in how the Chinese people do it.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Chiron.
Reminds me of Devin. I think they should have Devin.
Well, he probably like, because Devin's had a podcast.
She has a grandson, my nephew, that's gotten really into the chakras.
Uh huh.
All of that, and he's...
Is that basically the same thing, though?
I don't know. It's just, I know that it... I have never known anybody that's ever had luck with getting the salt and take the salt baths or whatever. I can't say it don't work if some other person that can do this stuff tells you, oh, you need this. And I've never known that to work. You need a spell, and it's called a protection / cleaning spell. And what it does is, if anybody has ever spelled you or messed with you, and it'll put it to sleep. And I'll be sitting here and tell everybody, and anybody that I've ever done this for or whatever, I cannot take off what someone else did. Nobody can. You have to know what they did, what they said, and what they used. Well, unless it's your spell. And you can reverse any time you need to, you know. But the cleaning part of it will clean your aura. And so then your aura goes back to being whatever color it is, and all of your energy and stuff will come back to you. Cats carry a lot of energy. They can also, when they do.
Morris, this is my special boy.
Well, and they can feel like energy holes in the atmosphere around. And that's why sometimes they know when you're sick and their energies can help you to heal faster, make you like sleep better. You know, but cats are that, dogs don't have that ability, but cats do. And I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there's just things about cats, and they, you know.
I've always been a cat person.
I like cats.
I wasn't allowed to have cats when I was little because my mom was allergic.
But they do. They can find energy spots.
We've always had one. She's had several that actually track down one of the little things she let out of the Ouija board one day.
That's for another night.
Yeah,
that's
for another night.
It's okay.
Yeah, no.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For coming on. It was so nice to meet you.
I don't know why, but I'm glad to.
I actually, you know, I know Lacey from coming to the tanning salon, and whenever she started, you know, she was telling me about that you had read and stuff. I was just like, oh, we should have your mom come to the podcast.
Typically that for me. I said, what are you talking about? My mother told me to do this. I said, what the hell is a podcast?
Yes.
What it was. And I kind of don't either, but I kind of do. I never really listen, but I do know what they
are. Oh, well, you're going to go listen to this one.
But I'm going to listen.
Yeah.
I've had it in my, I couldn't even find it
until Christy showed me where to find you guys at. And I was like, I've got to go in here and listen to her story. I want to still do that. And I want to listen to all of it because I think it's interesting.
I think this week will be like our 17th episode out.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot to like. Catch up on that.
Oh, okay.
We can do it. And our episodes generally are pretty short, like,
yeah,
less than an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I feel y'all come down and have tonight. When they added it, y'all should have.
Well, you don't put your mic down for that.
No, no, not me. They can't hear you anymore.
Yeah, if that happens again. Okay.
Well, Morris had things to say.
He did. He was thumping all over the table.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
All right, guys. So you can find us on
Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah.
You can send us an email at we'reallbitdead@gmail.com.
WereLlbitDead@gmail.com.
Please like, subscribe.
Oh, yeah. We're so found close. Us. Yes. I think we're close to meeting our first goal, and I'm not even going to say what that is. So subscribe.
Yes. We have been meeting, we've been close to meeting goals here lately. So subscribe, find us, and like it.
Yeah.
So,
and I guess we'll catch you guys later.
Catch you guys next week. All right. Bye.
Bye.